Hello, High Point Church. Welcome this evening. I'm Robert Stumpf, and we are in the fourth week of our eight-week teaching of You 2.0, God's Upgrade. I'm pretty excited about this message today. Last week was awesome, and if you didn't see it, go back and watch it. It was awesome. I couldn't finish the whole thing, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit more today and bring more into the equation. So I want to let you know, grab your Bibles, get comfortable, and let's dig into the Word of God, shall we? So just as a little bit of a recap, we started out in the Old Testament talking about God created man and how a corruption got into the program. And in that corrupted program, men became crazy. We lost our minds. We just got all selfish and consumed, and we just forgot about God and lived our own selfish individual lives. Well, God went through many, many processes trying to restore man back to the way we should have been in the very beginning. And you know, we kept messing up over and over again. So then he separated a people to himself, gave them laws so that he can kind of keep the gene pool cleaned out. And they still were falling short over and over again. Because how many of you know, when you're given rules to follow, it's all about the outside of just making sure you're legal and following the rules, but the man on the inside can still be rebellious and all corrupt. So we finally got to the place in the New Testament to where God said, forget it. I just can't do this with you guys. I'm going to have to do this myself. And God the Father and Jesus made a covenant with each other that they were going to clean up the gene pool and the human race. And they did. God overshadowed Mary. Mary had an immaculate conception, creating Jesus, the Son of God, who was fully man and fully God, who was operating as a man on the earth, but yet sinless and blameless before God, who had a real close anointed relationship with God during his sojourning or time he spent on the earth. And then he became sin for us, and that we may become the righteousness of God that we learned in 2 Corinthians 5:21. So Jesus paid the price for the sins of the whole world so that you and I can be sinless in the eyes of God, that we can be reunited, that condemnation, guilt, and shame can no longer separate us from God, because now we're born of the Spirit from God above, and therefore by being made an entirely new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17. So in that being made a new creation, we have a new dimension about ourselves, which was lost in Adam, which is we're spiritual in nature now. Not carnal, spiritual. God took the DNA of natural man, the genealogies of all those lives, and he put an end to them at the cross on Jesus Christ and created one new man, the last Adam. So as far as God's concerned, there's no more generations. Jesus was the last generation, and we are now alive in Christ. Therefore, we are the last generation, and we have eternal life in God, everlasting life. But this life that we have is in the Spirit, and this upgrade that we got from God was his Spirit in us, bringing us to life in the kingdom of God as citizens of heaven. So now that we are these new creations in Christ Jesus, now that we are sons and daughters of God, now that we do have everlasting life in the Spirit, we have a bit of a conundrum, a dilemma, a bit of a problem. Because you see, we were carnal, natural men and women, self-serving, in sin, which I told you was selfish, indulgent nature. We were selfish and we indulged ourselves in this world. And therefore, that had to be dealt away with so that we can become selfless and not do our will, but God's will, according to life now instead of according to death. So this conundrum or problem or dilemma that we now have is the renewing of our minds to get a new identity inside of us. This new upgrade has to take hold and start propagating or perpetuating itself into our lives that we can walk as spiritual sons and daughters. Amen. So we're going to go into Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at a couple of laws that God has. And these laws that God has are now in effect. And how many of you know, when a law is in effect, it is operative or operating regardless of whether you obey it or not. It is still in effect. Amen? And when you abide by that law, you get the fruit of that law, whatever that law was designed for. So, in Romans chapter 8, let's go ahead and look there in your Bibles. We're going to start in verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. And as you know, I am a firm believer that you look in your own Bible. Because if your words see it in your Bible, it cements inside of you. It lodges itself inside of you, and you can recall it and remember it and own it with more value when it's yours in your heart. So through your eyes and your heart, you can get these words. So look what it says in verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me freed from the law of sin and death. So here's these two laws. We got the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death. And these laws are both operating, and you and I are going to be under the constant influence of both laws. But now we have to decide which set of laws do we live according to now. Do we live according to the laws of the flesh, of sin and death, which we once were in? Or do we now live under these new laws, the law of the Spirit of life? And we get to make this choice. Go over with me to Galatians, would you? Galatians chapter 6, and let's look at something in Galatians where Paul, he just shares this little nugget with us. And boy, the book of Galatians just is phenomenal. But in verse 8 of chapter 6, I need you to see this. And here it is. It says, for he who sows... let me go to 7, I'm sorry. Let me go to 7. She may not have it, but let me just read it to you. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So whatever you put your attention on, whatever you are purposing in your heart to do or to live by, that's what you're going to get. Okay? Where your attention goes, your life follows. So, verse 8 says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Remember the corruption of the program? But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Remember in the garden? That's what we were promised in the garden, was everlasting life. And so therefore God is bringing us back to everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Because the gift of God, Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So this eternal life is what we're living for now. So saints, get this in your heart and mind. Everlasting life. You're not living now under yourself. You're not living now to get bigger houses or more houses or bigger cars or better cars or airplanes or rockets. You're not living to acquire goods on this earth. That's not the goal now, to build a bigger barn to fill it. The goal now is everlasting life. That's the promise that God has given to us, is everlasting life. And since we know we're going to have this everlasting life, we have to start renewing our minds to living in life instead of into the temporary existence that leads to death. So it takes some time to renew our hearts and our minds. And the key component in this is what you say to yourself. What do you say on the inside? Because you see, the natural man is the man of the flesh, who looks in the outward, who looks out into the world to see what's out there that I want, what's out there that I am like, what's out there that I can be and resemble and mimic in my own life. There's people, they see actors, so they want to be an actor. They're basketball players, football players. They want to be a football player or a basketball player because in their mind, that's the pinnacle. That's what they've reached. Or a politician, a governor, a senator, a president. There can be all kinds of things. I remember little kids, they always like to be a fireman or a policeman. And you grow up and your idea of what you want gets bigger and bigger according to what's patterned to you in this natural world. Well, you see, saints, God has moved us up now from looking into this natural world to what's valuable and who we are to having us now look up into heaven. We put our minds on things above. Remember when it said in Colossians chapter 3? And we set our minds on things above and not on the things of this earth. That's the eternal life. We have this hope in us for everlasting life. And so now it's a matter of living according to life. Let me show you something. When Adam was in the garden, he was a perfect man. He had a perfect spirit. It was before Eve and the destruction. It was in the beginning, before the corruption of the program. So this perfect man in the garden, this paradise, was there. And let me go back over to Genesis in chapter 1, I believe. I'm going to look for it real quick here. Because in Genesis chapter 1, God was intrigued. He enjoyed Adam's company. And, so God is with Adam. And he walked in the cool of the day. They spent some time together. And Adam, his spirit was still very large at that time. He was still clothed in the glory of God. And his attention was on the things of God and the kingdom of God. And his eyes weren't open to good and evil yet. His eyes weren't open to sinful, self-motivated, self-consumed ideas. It was all about outside. He never had a thought for himself. It wasn't even, he just existed with God. And so God created all these animals. We know the story. And all these animals, here's what God did, what was so cool about this perfect man. God was so intrigued with Adam, he decided he was going to parade these animals in front of Adam. Because God was pretty excited about what is Adam going to call these animals. So if you look with me in verse 19. Well, let me just say, let's go to verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2. So Genesis chapter 2, we're still in the creation time, verse 18, and this is what it says. It says, "And the Lord God said, is it not good that man should be alone? I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground he formed him, every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam." He brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Saints, I got goosebumps. This is more powerful than you can even imagine at this moment. You're going to need to think about this and nurture this and just let it grow big inside of you. God didn't name the animals. Adam did. And God was intrigued with Adam to see what Adam would call each one of these animals. And whatever Adam called it, that's it. That's what it is. And God abided, is that a word? By Adam's decision on what these animals were called. Well, guess what? That principle is still in operation today. Whatever you call your world, your truth, your reality, that's what it is. And God is not going to overrule that. If you think of yourself as condemned, fearful, shameful, whatever, that's what you're going to get. If you see yourself in the light of God, then that's what you're going to get. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come just on a whim or on a moment. It's going to take some time to renew our minds to who we really are, that we set our minds on things above and not on things on the earth. And we have to take this time and really start looking into the Word of God to see what it says. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's going to be verse 17. We're going to do 17 and 18 of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, this is what it says. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we have to just think about this a moment. The Lord is the Spirit, and the Spirit gives us liberty. So the Lord is in us now. We're born from God above, and now we have the Spirit of God in us, so we are free. We have liberty. And it says in 18, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's off of the Spirit of the Lord. That word is apo. It means to come off of. So as the Spirit of the Lord, as we're fellowshipping with the Spirit of the Lord, what happens is His glory and who He is, God Himself. Remember, it was the Spirit of the Lord that overshadowed Mary, who was Jesus' Father, our Father, who now lives in us by the Spirit of God, is now made us free. And as we spend time with Him, we get His glory. We become like He is. Just like the people who see the basketball player, the astronaut, the actor, and they pattern themselves after the actor, after the astronaut. They take the same courses. They do the same moves. They do the same things that person does in order to get the same results that other person got. And you and I are no different when it comes to the things of God. As we spend time with the Spirit of God, as we spend time in the Bible, then we start patterning ourselves after God by being in His presence. Birds of a feather flock together. You know, whoever you hang out with is what you're going to end up being like. That's just the way it is. So, looking in this 2 Corinthians 3:18, he's talking about that Moses was in the presence of God for 80 days, actually, two times of 40 days, and he was in the presence of God, and the glory of God was on Moses. And so when he came down, he was beaming like a light, and the whole community saw the glory of God on Moses, and they did whatever Moses said, because they can tell he was glowing with light, that the very presence of God was in his skin. So Moses, as he was telling the people what to do, this glory was starting to fade, because it was just topical. And so he put a veil over his face so that the people could not see that glory that was diminishing, going away, dissipating. So what they did was they veiled his face so that he can continue to rule. So he had this little veil over his face and he would talk through the veil. Wow, that kind of sounds like people today. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, so those of you that know what day, the year is 2020, and you guys all know what's going on in 2020, how people are masking their faces. Anyway, so this veil's passing away, but he says this, he says, but you and I, we have this glory inside of us, and therefore, when we turn to Christ, the veil is lifted, and we can see the glory of God in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying here is that since we have the veil lifted because we've turned to Christ, now we should be able to see ourselves as the glory of God. Go with me to James. I can't do one of these without doing the other one. And so in James, if you'll go with me, James is right after the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to go in James chapter 2. And I'm going to start in verse 23. So it's chapter 1, verse 23. And I'm going to go down to 26. Ready? For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This is pretty exciting. So we're going to say this is the perfect law of liberty. The New Testament, Jesus' resurrection, us being seated in heavenly places, endued with power from on high. But we've still got that thing in us that still associates and relates ourselves to the world. So what do we do? Well, I want to let you know. Did I bring it up here? I did. I thought, there it is. Pastor Trey has a teaching, and he's been talking about in the mirror on these Sunday mornings. And he has a teaching, a little thing, it's called In the Mirror. And it's a nice little pamphlet. He's got all these verses in it of who we are in Christ. He explains some things. Excellent. Excellent. I would just encourage you to get this. If you want a copy of this, we'll make one available for you. So what you need to do is either call the church or email the church and just ask for one of these, and we'll make sure that you get one, all right? It's awesome about who you are in the mirror. But now let's just talk about a mirror for a minute. I happen to have one. So how many of us can look into the mirror in your bathroom, in your vanity, in your compact if you're a woman? Better not have a compact if you're a man, but a compact if you're a woman. And you look into that mirror and you go, I think I do see the glory of God. Yes, I think I do. So you hold up your mirror and you look and you say, mirror, mirror in my hand, am I truly a spiritual man? And you look in your mirror and you see what's in there. So let me ask you this. If you look into the mirror and you sit there and just focus and look at yourself and truly look at yourself, what do you see? Do you see someone who's condemned, who feels guilty, who has shame, who's ugly, is fat, is old? What do you see when you look into the mirror? When you really study yourself and look into your mirror, what do you say? What comes out of your heart when you describe what you see in the mirror? Well, I've got my little thing I wrote, so let me just read it to you. As you look at me, as I look at you in the mirror, and I say this, mirror, mirror in my hand, am I truly a spiritual man? Open my eyes that I may see the man I am created to be. Forgetting the man I once was, show me the new man from God above. I am. And then what are you? I am. And I can look in that mirror and see the new person, the glory of God on me. Can you see yourself with the glory of God on you? Can you relate to yourself as a son or a daughter of God? You know, in this mirror, we've been promised so many things in the Bible. So if you just look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a fact. So now as a new person in Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, a citizen of heaven, seated on thrones above, renew in our minds to who we are in the spirit of our mind, can I look in there and go, you are blessed. You are truly blessed. You have every spiritual blessing. That every spiritual blessing is on you. God gave you every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. That's in where my spirit is, seated in Christ. That's where I'm really located. So in my heart of hearts, I have every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. And I can start looking in this mirror or in this mirror and start seeing I have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I can walk around and say, I have every spiritual blessing. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So if anybody goes, how are you? You know what you can say? Just a second. Let me look in the mirror. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm absolutely blessed with every spiritual blessing. There's no blessings that I'm not blessed with. I'm blessed with all the blessings. They're all mine. Every spiritual blessing is mine. Holy Spirit of God, I have every spiritual blessing. Wow, that's the new man, renewing my mind, walking in that new man. So then I go here and I look in my mirror and I go, wow, I don't feel like I'm blessed. It doesn't seem like I'm blessed. It seems like God's not even near me or with me. It seems like I'm all alone. It seems like the devil's just trying to ruin my life and fear's got me gripped and I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I don't know if I'm blessed. I don't feel like I'm blessed. You have to decide. Are you going to believe what God said in the new creation? Or are you going to use the old programming to decide who you are? See, it takes time to renew our minds. It takes time. So you got to look in this mirror. You got to look in this mirror. You got to look in this mirror. And you got to look in it. And you got to go, I'm blessed. Well, I don't see it from that angle. Maybe I need to look at it from this angle. I'm blessed. Maybe I should look at it from this angle over here. Nope, I don't see it yet. Nope. It just doesn't feel right. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. Nope. I don't know about that. Maybe if I go over here and I do it over here, maybe I can, okay, now I'm blessed. Maybe now I'm blessed. And you keep moving the mirror around and keep looking at how it's in there somewhere until the moment hits you, I am blessed. I am blessed. I don't care what it looks like in the natural world. I'm seated in heavenly places. I don't care who I was yesterday or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Today, I am a new creation in Christ and I am blessed. And I can walk in that blessing now in my life. Amen? Well, let's go on. We've got lots of blessings in here. How about this one? Since we're in Ephesians chapter 1, let's just go a little bit further down in Ephesians chapter 1. You got verse 4 there, young lady? Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I'm holy and without blame. God never blames me. The devil blames. He's a finger pointer, but God isn't. So guess what? That's going to take some work in my heart, that God never blames me for anything. You see, in Romans chapter 8, let's go back there real quick. We're going to do some flipping. In Romans chapter 8, if you go back to Romans chapter 8, you need to look at something. so that you can use it to strengthen your position when you're looking in this mirror. Because if you remember what James said that it is the perfect law of liberty. Of liberty, of freedom. Not the law of condemnation. The law of liberty, of freedom. Right? So going back into Romans chapter 8. Look what it says here in verse 3. It says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin." Look at this. He condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. Therefore, if you still see yourself as condemned and you dog yourself and you blame yourself and you're feeling guilty for things, you're in the flesh and you're not in the spirit. Because remember what it said in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 8? It says, whatever you sow to, you're going to reap. If you sow to the spirit, you reap everlasting life. If you sow to the flesh, eeks, yuck. Don't like that one at all. So what I need to do is constantly be in my mirror of the Word of God and really looking to see what God says about me and really start believing God and walking around as a brand new creation. The devil will try to point out, yeah, but, you know, when I was a kid, I did some stupid things. None of you guys did probably, but I did some stupid things. And then when I grew up and I was an adult, when I would go back to my home where my mother lived and I would visit on the holidays, do you know she still saw me as that kid? She still identified with me according to my past because she had my whole history. And only by the way that I lived on the outside is how she saw me. But God says he looks at us from the inside, and that's how he sees us. So when our inside is corrupt, then the outside becomes corrupt. When our inside is good, then the outside becomes good. And what happens is the people of your past may try to pigeonhole you and try to say, oh, you're no different. You're still the same so-and-so that I used to do this and that with. Yeah, I remember who you are. Don't give me that God stuff that you're all holy now and righteous. Listen, you start renewing your mind and you start doing this. Say, nope, that's not me. That was the old guy. I'm the new guy. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. I'm blameless. I'm holy. I'm above reproach. I'm complete in him, Colossians says. And I can start renewing my mind and start proving. Remember what it said? It said that we would prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God by what? Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. That was Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And you and I have to do that. Not be conformed and pushed into the mold of who we used to be, because everything in us is going to try to identify with the carnal person, the corrupted program. But we've gotten the upgrade now, and so now we've got to get used to working in the new upgrade. Used to identifying ourselves as being blameless, above reproach. How about this one? Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, we're going to go into... Oops, I overshot it. 2 Corinthians, we're going to go into chapter 1, I think. Let me look. Let me find it, and then I'll tell you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, yes. And let's look in verse 20 and 21 and 22. Okay? 20, 21, and 22. Ready? For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Or rather, mirror, mirror in my hand. Am I truly this spiritual man? And I have to look that it says that in him, all the promises of God for me are yes. Why? To the glory of God through me and you. That as I start laying hold of the promises of God, that thrills my heavenly Father because he's working through me and proving every promise he's delivered me to. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. To the point that life starts welling up inside of me. My mind starts getting brighter and brighter. My conscience starts getting clearer and clearer. In the heavenly realm, the boldness of who I am just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the love starts pouring out of me towards other people. And the freedom of this Bible, of this mirror, starts setting me free of all the condemnation, all that I was imprisoned, all the load that I carried, all the past natural things washed away. And I start walking free. I start being led by God. I start starting to see the world the way God saw creation, the way Adam saw it in the beginning. And now when I start naming things, now when I start naming the world around me, I say it's blessed. I say it's prosperous. I say it's free, because the very things that I look at are now the things that are manifested in the world around me. And look at this next verse it says. It says this, verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Mirror, mirror in my hand, am I truly anointed by God? And I have to look and see and find in my heart and in my mind that I am absolutely anointed by God. And I have to start walking in that anointing, proving that anointing. And when I lay hands on somebody and I don't see the results, I said, that's okay. It's still true. You will. Old man, get away from me. Condemnation, disqualification, out of here. Out of here. Because I am not the one that is bringing my salvation to pass. I am the one believing Jesus has done it for me. In the new programming, God's doing it through me, to me, for me. In the old program, I had to do it for me. I had to toil. I had to labor. I had to strive. I had to work it out. And the stress and the stress and the stress just mounted on me. But in this new program, the upgrade, God did it. I wasn't even involved in the covenant. And since I wasn't involved in the covenant, I'm a recipient of it as a free gift of God. I'm anointed, and there's nothing you can do about it because it was given to me by God. God anointed me. I didn't grow it. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. He did it as a gift. He anointed you. You're anointed. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't like glean it and make it happen. You have to believe it. You have to get your inner dialogue, your inner conversation about yourself and to yourself. And you start renewing your mind. I'm anointed. And then this old stuff pops up. No, you're not. Yes, I am. The old man's not, but I'm the new man. The old man died. He's buried. He was hung on the cross. All those old thoughts, all that old emotions, all that old way of looking at me. That dude stinks. He's laying on the cross. He's dead. I'm the new man. I'm an identical twin in some capacities. I look just like the old guy, but I'm a different guy. I'm not that guy. I'm the anointed guy. I'm the guy that lives according to the Spirit of God. Let's go down one more verse. Verse 22. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Father loves us so much. Jesus loves us so much. Holy Spirit loves us so much. And I got to be honest, I can't tell the difference at times. If it's the Father, if it's the Son, if it's the Holy Spirit, it's just God with me. It's God with me. And God has given me His Spirit. So now God's Spirit dwells with me. And we'll go into that next week. We'll talk about He didn't leave me alone to just me and the book. How many of you, you go to school, they don't just give you the book and then you study and take a test and leave. There's another being there in the room, at least one, and that's the tutor or the teacher, the governor, the one who shares the truth, the one who makes sure you become educated. And we're going to talk about that. So God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. That means we're sealed. We can't lose it. That's good news, you guys. That's really, really good news. I can't wreck it. I can't stop from being blessed. I can't stop from being anointed. I can't stop from having everlasting life. I do. Remember I said last week, 2 + 2 = 4? And once you know 2 + 2 = 4, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can convince you differently because you know. So now when I believe God according to the Bible and I see what it says and I choose to believe God and overrule my old way of thinking, my old feelings, my old life, and I start walking in that anointing, guess what? There's no way you're ever going to take it away from me. Because you aren't the one that gave it to me, so you can't make me lose it. I didn't even make myself qualified. God qualified me. He qualified you. And if we start staying in the picture, staying in the mirror, keep looking in the mirror, keep renewing my mind, keep focusing myself on that, then I will start seeing. And saints, you can see I'm stumbling here for some words. I would say this is the biggest pandemic in the body of Christ. The biggest lie that has been pulled over the church. As if this giant black veil was put over the church. That the church believes that God exists. The church believes that God has saved them through Jesus Christ. The church may even say out of their mouth that by His stripes I was healed. They may say that my sins were nailed to the cross. But saints, the truth is we have to own it as who we are. We have to take the time to walk it out, to prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God by renewing our minds and not being conformed to the old ways of this world. And if you and I will do that, there's no end to what we can have. There's no end. God doesn't care if you have a big house. God doesn't care if you've got cars. God doesn't care if you enjoy everything on this planet. Go for it. The Bible says He's given you all things richly to enjoy. Just don't get stuck in it. Don't get so entrenched into your things that you think that your things are what gives you value. It's the Spirit of God in you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, what He paid. That's what gives us our value. We can have things, but things can't have us. It's about being generous. It's about giving. It's about being loving. We're proving what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And now it's going to be, we turn our attention off of me, self-indulgent nature, and onto others, freedom, life, healing. Because when we realize we've got the goods now, because we've been looking into the perfect law of liberty and we believe it, now when we look at other people, And they're naming themselves as condemned, as broken, as addicted, as shameful. I can rename them. I have the power to rename them. You have the power that whatever I call them, that's what they're going to be. And I can say, free, forgiven, healed, prosperous, just like my Heavenly Father says. Because yes and amen in Him, that through me, God's glorified, doing these very same things that He did. And that's how God's glorified. The new you 2.0 now walks for others, glorifying others, setting others free, blessing others, speaking life over others, encouraging others, building others up. We'll go into it some more because there's a few more things in this mirror. There's a few more things in this mirror that we can go over the next couple of weeks, that we can renew our minds to who we are, that we can start operating in these things. Next week, I want to talk to you about we're not alone in this. We have somebody with us all the time helping us. That when we're looking in here and we're having a hard time seeing myself, it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, or that He's given me all things to richly enjoy, and I have a hard time, or whatsoever thing you say, believing in your heart, what you say, you'll have it. Really? I'm going to have to do some work. I'm going to have to really do some work. And I need some help. So the Holy Spirit is a gift from God to me and to you to help teach us these things and make them real in our hearts and in our minds. Amen. Judy, if you'd come up, please. Saints, I want to let you know this mirror is powerful. It's powerful. But if you don't take the time to see yourself in it, if you don't really look at yourself, and I encourage you, when you go home, stand in front of the bathroom mirror. Or if you have a hall mirror or wherever you have a mirror. If you don't have a mirror in your house, you're probably a vampire. So I think everybody's got a mirror somewhere, right? You have to. So take that time and look in your mirror. If you're driving, I don't encourage you to do it right now in your car, okay? But if you're at home, in a hotel room, a motel room, wherever you are, look in the mirror and just see, who do you say you are? Not just out of the top of your head, so arbitrarily, just because I read it in the book, but if you really get real with the inner dialogue, that monologue that's inside of you, that you say about yourself. You need to teach that voice, your inner voice, to say the same thing God says about you and start believing it and seeing the fruit of it in your life. Don't take this lightly. You've got to see. You've got to truly see and believe God for who you are. And the more you test it, the more you operate in it, the more you do it, the greater the results is going to be. And you're going to be able to truly manifest the goodness of God in the world around you. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to pray with you, and I want to thank you for watching through this entire video. And like always, thumbs up, share, share, share. And if you want this In the Mirror by Pastor Trey, just let us know. Don't just put it in the comments that I want one. You need to call or you need to email to get a copy of it, okay? And we're more than happy to give this to you for free because it's wonderful for helping you to renew your mind in what you truly are created to be in Jesus' name. So Heavenly Father, I just lift up everyone in our viewing audience today, Lord. Father, as they look into their Bible, Father, There are so many wonderful things that you have liberated us to be and to do, Lord. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you quicken the minds and the hearts of the people that are listening today, Lord. That the reality of who they are in the Spirit would wake up, Lord. That the seeds of the Word would be planted, that their ears would be open, that they can hear these words being lodged inside of them, Lord Jesus, to be renewed in the spirit of their mind, Lord. That they can prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask you, that is no respecter of persons, that if anybody's suffering from condemnation, guilt, shame, feeling disqualified, inadequate, or if they've gotten mad at you, Lord, and they don't even know to come to you anymore, I ask you, Father, to just let your goodness envelop them, Lord, that they can be freed. You know, saints, it's as easy as saying, God, forgive me for having a hard heart. Forgive me for being consumed with myself. Forgive me for letting my attention be misled into the so many things, my job and all the things in this world. Saints, I want to let you know, you're supposed to give your whole heart, your whole soul to your job. But underneath that, the dialogue underneath you giving your whole heart to being effective in the world, you be saying, I am alive in Christ. I have eternal life. I am qualified. I am anointed. I am free. I'm forgiven. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm blameless. I'm above reproach. I'm absolutely complete and overflowing in Him. I have no need because God has given me everything. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And as I renew my mind to that, I will start seeing a change on the inside of me without even trying. I'll just start seeing my life being different, and I'll start seeing the influences of those new beliefs manifested in the world around me. And then, saint, when troubles come, you'll be the first one that rises up and says, no! Absolutely not. I'm blessed. I'm anointed. I'm healed and I'm whole and I'm forgiven. I have the spirit of life in me. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And you'll have that confidence because you've been grooming your inner person to the reality of who you are in Christ. Amen. Well, I love you guys. And I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to next week. This has been great. And you should look forward to it too. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit of God and how He's here helping us with the program. Remember when we had Word? Remember when Word came out years ago for people that are like over 15? You guys know that Word, we used to have Word and we'd load it on our computer, and this little paperclip looking guy was there. He was the assistant and he would help us work through the program. He would tell us, try this, try that. This doesn't work. That little paperclip guy, or you can get the little professor or whatever it was, and you can have this assistant help you learn the new program. Well, we have the Holy Spirit of God given to us so that we can learn to walk in the new program. Amen. I love you. I look forward to being with you next week. God bless you. And remember, get in the mirror and see who you really are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.